Hey everybody, Shane Presley here with Rock Paper Podcast to tell you about my friends over at Music Record Shop. Find them at 4191A Manchester Avenue, right over there in the heart of the Grove. They come out this Friday, and every Friday there's an all-new music happy hour going on. 10% off any purchase, and free beer from Four Hands Brewery. And of course, vinyl spinning and new records in store from Prince, Nina Simone, and much more. Hey, also, they have a lot of great live in stores on the weekends, Saturdays and Sundays, and this Saturday, July 23rd, live in store from the Langoliers and Brother Lee and the Leather Jackals. And then come out on Sunday, July 24th, Justin Johnson and Melinda Cooper live in-store performance. Both of those 2 to 4 p.m. So come out, grab some new music, check out some fine local music, check out the local music selection there on the shelves. And if you want to get any of your music in stores, please reach out and see how you can make that happen. They follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, musicrecordshop.com. This episode is sponsored by Game Trader 2 in St. Charles, Missouri. They wanted to tell you about Mo GameCon going on August 13th, and that'll be at Elks Lodge 330 in Afton, Missouri. Tickets will be $10 or $5 plus two canned goods. There will also be exclusive event t-shirts for sale, and vendors, special guests include Adam Korelick of YouTube and the Rocket Punch Radio and Video Game Show podcast, and many others. There's going to be one going on, and like I said, lots of great local vendors and competitions and all kinds of things. So if you're into gaming, come check it out. August 13th, 12 to 7 p.m. in Afton, Missouri. Visit mogamecon.com for more information and tickets. That's mogamecon.com.
Podcast is kind of like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
Hi, this is John Henry. You're listening to the Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri, hanging out at Friendly's in St. Louis here with John Henry and the Sleepy Rubies.
Hi.
Welcome to the show, everybody.
Hello there.
This is very exciting for me. I'm just thrilled that this worked out, that we're all here together and talk about new music and this big party coming up and all that. So yeah, thank you for taking some time out to make this possible.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
So we, like I said, you both have brand new records coming out, and then the release party, July 23rd, Saturday night. And so let's talk about this, how this even came to be a dual CD release show.
We're friends.
Yeah.
And we talked a little bit.
Here and there.
But we had a, we were both offered Lou Fest shows. And we both were recording albums coming into this, so.
And John actually produced the Sleepy Rubies album, so.
So I mean, like I said, like, we were friends, and we were just hanging out, we had a date to do it, and I just, you know, two is better than one for this type of thing, and summertime, rock and roll, heading into Lou Fest, and we kind of don't want to play a lot of original stuff before the festivals,
right?
So this seemed like perfect timing, and the date worked at the venue, and
very cool.
Yeah, I mean, just the stars aligned, I guess.
So
to speak.
So So yeah, that's like again Saturday the 23rd. It's just you two, right?
Just us.
Yeah, yeah, we got the full just band us. Though. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's gonna be great.
I talked to Mr. Jim Peters about it a little bit, working
he's so awesome.
Working on the album and but yeah, so
good dude. Really good player.
Yeah, for sure.
Amazing.
So
intuitive, fantastical.
Tasty.
Yeah.
Delicious.
This isn't the Jim Peters podcast, so we're gonna stop saying this. This is about us.
So did we have the name for the what would name the new record? The Sleepy Rubies album?
Great Big Love.
Great Big Love.
It's the first, I think the first collective group of songs that we've ever written individually and together that are happy lyrics. It still has that like sad bastard feel, but all of the lyrics are, you know, we're in a good spot now.
You're in a good place.
And it was nice to write songs that reflect, you know, goodness other than I'm gonna kill you because you broke up with me kind of shit that we normally always do. So
you know, everyday stuff.
Typical slaughter tunes.
So yeah, we made these songs and it's kind of really worked out. But we thought it was appropriate. Great Big Love. These are kind of five nice little love songs.
And it's a track on the album too.
Yeah.
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 It's really, really good.
Well, I saw you all. Was a couple weeks or months ago, I guess, over at Off Broadway with the Black Lilies, and just was blown away by the show and just the sound and the songs. It was just very well done, and so I imagine I heard quite a bit of those that would be on the record.
Totally, yeah. Mm-hmm. You heard the really raw version though, because we had just written them.
Yeah,
did you play a bunch of those songs, a few of those
we had just written a couple days prior, and we're like, oh man, we need to go over this. We've just written, you know, kind of winging it on stage, but yeah, so.
And like the people at Off, you know, I book Off Broadway with Steve, and like I was getting texts from the people that were working that night, being like, we're walking like so many people, and I'm like, oh, I know what's, you know, who's behind this,
yeah.
You know, because
yeah.
People just wanted to hear them, because like you should tell them about the, like playing together.
Well,
like
yeah,
growing
yeah.
up, you know what I mean? Like, just how you have that really long history of growing up and playing. And,
yeah.
And so, like, that was kind of like the first show back or something.
Yeah,
we hadn't played together for about. We hadn't written together in 8 years at least. Which, even that last couple years, we probably didn't do much writing as it was. But we played together, wrote together from 15 to 23, and then did separate things forever.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people knew us as Emily and Allie. Or Allie
super
and Emily.
Super creative. It's because her name's Emily and mine is Allie.
You gotta keep it. You gotta keep it simple for the listener.
Yeah.
You want to have the easiest path.
What's crazy though is they still couldn't get it right. It was saying, well, Ashley and Amber coming up.
Yeah.
It's like,
so like you're just saying random women's names.
Or live music. Yeah. I don't know how many times we were called live music. It's like, man, we've been playing here every Wednesday for 3 years.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're still called live music?
Live music.
God.
I've been John Henry and the Machine and John Henry and the Engines. And
yeah.
You know, that's just like, it's like that scene and that thing you do where they're like, the Oneaters. And it's like,
yes.
That's the, yeah.
The Oneaters.
The Oneaters.
Oh, it's the Wonders.
It's the Wonders. Oh, that's the Wonders. Click, click, click.
Yeah, I'd obviously been following Emily for a long time, and then I kept hearing, you know, that how great you were, Allie, and then like how like, and people were telling me like that you two together was something really special, and I'd heard about this, and then like so I was really excited to actually witness it myself at that show at Off Broadway that night. So like and just like I said, it was really really awesome, and I'm excited to. See it again, you know, especially full band this time, and
yeah,
it should be a good night. But yeah, that the title South City, is that right? Or
Great Big Love, and then we've got
well, I mean the
song,
the
South
song.
City,
yeah, South
yeah.
City,
yeah.
Yeah.
So I like we were kind of talking with, like I said, with Jim Peters about how there is like a lot of these St. Louis songs kind of coming out around right now, and like it's just fun to there are these songs and there's people that are, you know.
proud to be from St. Louis, and they're, you know, singing about their city and stuff. And but that was that's one that I particularly like a lot. I
mean,
I haven't got to hear the whole record yet, but that was one I remember, you know, really being drawn to. So
yeah,
that
I mean,
one
that
creeps in your brain.
That's a really great. Record is just front to back. I mean, really, really. I mean, just every song is so good, and so it just like effortless in the sense of it just when you sing it, it just comes out like of your voices, you know. And I remember hearing that the first time, and then you know, all the subsequent tunes, it's just they're so strong, like all the way through. I feel like, I mean, and I'm objective, but I'm
right.
A fan too, but it's yeah, I think it's gonna sound so good hearing it with the full band.
Yeah,
sure.
It's super awesome with the full band. It's nice because these songs we I think independently as well as together over the years in our history have a lot of times songwriting's been like white knuckle want to punch yourself in the face.
Laborious.
Why can't this happen? Yeah. And for this, Emily brought up, hey, do you want to do an EP together in November of last year? And I was like, well, yeah. And then in January, she's like, I booked March such and such. I booked the first week of March. Mm-hmm. And I was like, awesome. And so then the last week of February, we decided to get together to write the songs. And it was like, oh, God, what are we going to do? And then they just fell out of us.
It was just easy. It's just been easy.
Yeah.
From day one, it's been easy.
Effortless.
Even we were going to try to write a couple of more songs to open up acoustic before the band joins us this Saturday, the 23rd. And we're like, well, crap, I went to Maine, and I came back, and we got together Saturday, and then... right out of our ass, just fell on another song.
Yeah,
it's really good too.
It's like Jesus. It's just been, it's just been easy, and I think that, that says a lot too when it is so easy that it's, you know, meant to be or right timing or whatever you want.
And
call
then
it.
Even with the band, the guy. I mean, we obviously didn't have much practice. We didn't know the songs. They didn't come out of us until a week before recording, and so we couldn't give anybody anything. It was just like, hey, can you be here this date and play things on things?
Yeah. Right.
And then everybody showed up, and it'd be like, oh, okay. And then they'd run it through twice, and be like, well, that's. What was always meant to be there.
Yeah,
it
was, that was really
and it
fun.
Helps too that they're
incredible
pros.
Players.
They are just pros. I mean,
and like
Mark
fans
Hochberg,
of yours,
Tony.
and nice people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a really good. I totally remember that recording period like super fondly. With like everybody came in like, what are you gonna play? Like, what am I playing? We're just sit down, and listen. We'll figure. It'll
just go with it.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Yeah, it was like very effortless. I mean, that's the word that I always think about, like when I think about you two together, it's just, it happens, you know, it just flows.
Oh, man.
It's good. It flows like...
Flows. Well, we won't.
And then
let's
it,
don't.
And then,
don't.
And then it flows, yeah.
So do you two... I mean, is it pretty collaborative most of the time? I mean, all of it? Or you each bring each other songs? Or
we normally don't have a song. We normally have, I'll have, hey, Allie, scoop-a-da-bip. She's like, oh, cool. And then we just go off of it, or vice versa. Allie's like, I got this chorus line.
So, like, and iPhone then, memos?
Totally. Yeah. A lot of them is, you know, you film it, or you record it on your phone when you're driving or in the shower or whatever, and...
Very cool.
I just listened to South City, my first like snippet from when I first heard it in my head in the shower, and it's totally not how the song goes, but that's totally where I got it. Yeah.
All mine are a lot of
Yeah.
Bing bing.
Yeah, like Claire, my wife Claire they went to high school together, so that's how we met. She has like this little, I guess it would be a cousin who's like, she's like really young. She's like, what's your, do you have a process? And I was like, yeah. And I played like, it's like all these like iPhone things. You know, you just got to get the like genesis of an idea.
Slowly it becomes something over the course of the memos.
The best is when you get shit faced and the next day you're like, whoa, I had all these awesome ideas. And you listen back and it's like,
Yeah. Like, I need to pump the brakes.
My biggest fear, if anybody ever got a hold of my stuff, wouldn't be like identity theft. It'd be like, just don't listen to the memo.
Yeah, don't play the bad ones. Or like I'm walking, you're like, But I mean, I think you have to capture everything. And I think that, you know, there's a lot to be said about like nowadays of not, there's like so much going on and there is. But I think one of the good things is you can easily capture an idea. Like, I remember being in grade school, I had like a little, like, I don't even know what size tape it was, but it was like a little voice thing where I'd record it, and you know, I love that. But now it's, you can just get little memos
so
all the time.
Yeah.
Or you had the like Home Alone, had the Talk Boy.
Yeah, I had a Talk Boy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had a Talk Boy. I got like a year late because it was apparently like the biggest toy of the year.
Right.
Yeah, my grandma got it for me. That thing was sweet.
Yeah. He's a rich kid.
Yeah. Talk Boy. Yeah. I had a button I pushed and imagined it was recording something.
We were playing
something.
In mud puddles and shit. Like, this is cool.
I was growing mosquitoes in a bucket because I thought they were little creatures. And my dad would kick the bucket over and go, stop it! I'm going to kill them! Like, you're farming mosquitoes!
Yeah, whatever.
Those are my friends!
It was like $25.
Still.
Oh man, I used to stand at the bus stop, which was the end of my driveway.
No,
and I would ride out. I didn't know how to write music because I was super young, but I had really awful lyrics in my head. So I'd write the words out, and then I'd make a melody, and I would draw a line of like the direction the notes would go. And then I'd look back and be like, "That's the dumbest thing I've ever seen." Nobody knows what I was singing there.
That's how I picture singing, like in the studio.
Like
the wave of it? Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Or like flatline it, like for a harmony. Like, I totally
like
picture it. Like, it's almost like a Pro Tools, like, you know, when you see a file in a way.
Yeah.
I totally think of it the same way for singing.
I like that.
Yeah, up and down.
Yeah.
Up, yeah.
Like a little roller coaster.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I'll always tell one of the guys that's playing in my band, Brian Hoskins, he's a really, really great harmony singer, and he's like, I'm like, should we just flatline that there? And he's like, what do you mean? I'm like, just hold the same note. Yeah.
Like a flatline?
I mean, because I know some theory and everything, and I can explain it like that, but I think that in that scenario, it's, let's go up, and then,
that's the landscape of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I view it like east to west.
Horizon. Your song's like a little road trip.
Yeah, a little road trip.
To little footballs.
To nowhere.
Places out.
To
would
nowhere.
You like a cookie song?
To pain.
What a sports net.
Yeah.
So what was, how was the studio stuff working with John in the studio doing this?
He hit us a lot.
Yeah?
Yeah, it was like, you know.
We need it, though.
It was kind of like the Ike and Tina vibe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But that's
one
what we
point
respond
I
to.
I didn't hit the right note, and he grabbed the back of my head, my hair, smashed my face, and the knobs on the board.
Yeah.
Jason McIntyre got a little uncomfortable. But
yeah, like the weird part though is the rest of the band, they didn't seem to reprimand me. They were just cool with
it. They cheered, which was really awkward. They
it was
clapped.
So, you know.
She had it coming. Like that. Finally.
No, it was super easy. It was super easy, and just the whole
that
thing
was a joke.
Easy.
Disclaimer.
It was just great and easy, and a lot of it, the cool thing of why we want to work with John and guys like Jason McIntyre is they're not sitting there saying, well, that sounded like crap or whatever. It's just like, hey, let's do another run, you know? Because I think that I know myself personally, I don't react well with bad criticism when I'm in a recording situation. And I've been in that situation where they're like, well, that was crap, let's do this again. And it's like, it kind of defeats me. So like that little push and the encouraging and, yeah, let's do it one more time. It's just great and easy and comfortable and happy. And
yeah.
Very
whiskey involved and yeah.
Yeah. I think when you're dealing with, you know, on this record with, you know, this whole project where everything was, to me, sounded so good so early, it's almost like you don't, like, I didn't want to get in anyone's way. I just wanted to maybe help nudge a little one way or nudge a little and let them kind of do their thing because it was so good right off the bat.
For sure.
You know, like, oh, let maybe shorten this a little bit or maybe you could get a better take here. But I think that, yeah, I think less is more with this particular thing, you know.
Sure.
And Jason's the same way. I mean, he's really great to work with, and all the players you both had on the record. I mean, really good. Mm-hmm. So,
so that'll be available at the party, and then whatever.
Yeah.
When do we expect digitally?
As soon as we can afterwards.
Yeah.
I'm not thinking it's going to take us too long to get it on iTunes and Spotify and Google Play and all those things.
Yeah, definitely get your tickets to the 23rd and come grab a copy that night and
heck yeah,
take one home with you.
Yeah.
And then, I guess right after, or shortly after that, September 10th and 11th that weekend, right? That's the dates?
Yeah, 10 and 11.
For Lou Fest.
So you play Saturday, I play Sunday.
Yeah, we open the whole Lou Fest thing, or the first act. Which I want to say is the most important space slot that you can get.
We didn't do it, it wouldn't happen.
Yeah, I think that, I think
playing to the vendors and shit.
You're welcome, Lou Fest. You know?
They did like a reverse headliner.
Sure.
No. Yeah.
Lauryn Hill, sorry, you're going to
Yeah. She's going to be there.
We're going to close the show.
Like, she's going to be there, like, to watch that set. Yeah. And she's going to stay all day.
She's going to carry
until her set.
Right, all day.
She's going to hang out.
She's going to sit there.
She's going to be in the VIP area.
Oh, man.
There's going to be... It's going to be so much fun.
Yeah, it's awesome. Definitely.
No, but, like, in all seriousness, I'm so thrilled to play it.
I mean, yeah.
I always think it's such a great thing. And
there's a great lineup to be a part of. I mean, there's some...
Yeah.
Killer acts on the
Dude.
Bill. I was, you know, as a fan of St. Louis music, I was, you know, thrilled to see as much local support as there was on this year's lineup. But, you know, Aaron Cam and the One Drops are one of my favorites also. And just like,
Cry Bikini.
Bruiser Queen.
Yeah,
and,
Bruiser Queen.
So, yeah, just there's a lot of great locals along with, you know, Lauryn Hill, Chris Stapleton. And,
Buddy Guy. Yeah. And the Horses.
They've been doing, I mean, the whole event's been so well done for so, and I'm not saying this just because we're like playing it. It's just like, you know,
I was just talking to Rich the other day at Firebird for the RFT showcase, and you know, he's like, man, he's like, we're just regular guys trying to put on a really cool festival, and we're working our balls off, and it's just amazing how much backlash they get. Like, they just get all of the comments of, this sucks, and you guys suck, and Memphis is way cooler, and I just think that they've just killed it year after year, and they try to step it up every year, and every year they have.
No good deed goes unpunished.
And I just high-five those guys, because they, I mean, they're putting in the man hours, and...
Bringing an incredible festival right here to St. Louis.
And you got all of the elements, you know?
And
you
it's
got
like, anybody who's ever been there, like, it's like, it's run so well, and it's like, you know, you get your parking. I mean, the only thing, you know, like, once you get to the festival, like, if you have to park somewhere or whatever, you get there and it's just like, oh, hey, guess what, it's like this beautiful field, you know, like, it's easy to walk around, you're hungry, there's food, you know, it's just, and it's organized and just carried off so well. I've always thought that. I've never understood that.
I take the MetroLink in, and they pick you up right at the station and shuttle you into the field, the Forest Park.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's pretty simple. You know, you don't have to worry about parking down
there. I think if you don't like it, it's your problem. It's not not anyone.
That's
like,
the mentality. If it's not this particular person's dream set list, it's like, what's your problem with this?
Yeah.
You know, did you get my memo? And you can't get everybody's perfect.
And it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what people... I mean, like, because, you know, you could... I don't
know. It's a weekend of music.
We're stoked, though. I mean, it's a crap.
We're thrilled.
Just to go is a dream. Just to go is like, oh, my God, we're going to get to go to Lufest. But this year, to be able to play...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I pinch myself every day. And then it's like, my electric bill's late, or, you know... My apartment's disgusting, and I'm hungover, and I'm like, why did I drink so much? And then I'm like, well, I'm playing Lufest this year, so I'm doing something right, you know? So.
And then, like, the house, it's like, whew, it just, like, becomes cool.
It's like that snap button or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, I got my ticket. I'll be there. I'm stoked. Like I said, it's going to be a great weekend. So.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about John's record, I guess.
Yeah.
Like I said, this is a dual CD release party.
Yeah.
So, Dark City?
Dark City, Dark Country is going to be the title of the record. Yeah.
But then, I guess both of you will just be, it's just going to be CD right now, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, actually, earlier today, I was meeting with, like, before I came here, I was meeting with David Beeman, who I recorded, and he produced the record. He was telling me that if you want to have vinyl made right now, no matter who you are in the United States, it takes like 3 months.
Yeah.
Because it's so popular, it's so backed up. Yeah. So, I mean, that's just a side story. But CD, digital, 10 songs, recorded at Native Sound. I'm excited about it.
Yeah. So is vinyl? Is that something you would like to eventually put the record on vinyl or something? Or
I think so. I think vinyl's great. I like to listen to it. It physically, it's a cool thing to have. I think I would if it was the right opportunity or whatever. You know.
Definitely. So, Dark City, Dark Country, the name of the record, and that'll also be available July 23rd at Off Broadway,
right,
in physical forms, and then hopefully digitally and everything soon.
Yeah, yeah, yep.
So, what? So you said 10 tracks?
10 songs.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 tracks. Full length album. Been wanting to do a full length for a while, and had a collection of songs I felt like that fit. Kind of had a thread going through all of them, you know, and the ones that didn't exist right off the top, I wrote them, and then you know, wrote a bunch of songs with some good friends in Nashville and some friends around here and stuff like that. So,
So this was, how many albums is this for you now?
It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like the sixth big release.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then you got a,
and I have a single.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
Is that, well, Spinning Wheel was an EP?
That was an EP. I had the Sad Face of Yours EP.
Yeah.
I Don't Want to Know EP. Under the Yellow Moon record. Charlie Baby EP.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
A lot of music, man. Yeah, the same thing with talking about Emily there, with, you know, being a big fan for a long time. It goes back to you too. It's like it's exciting to get new music from one of your favorites, and like I said, man.
Thank you.
Been,
yeah.
So you like who did you get to co-write with in Nashville with this?
My main writing partner is my friend Zach Brook. Who's a really, really great songwriter and cool dude. I was introduced. It's weird because, like, I met him organically because I opened for him when I was, like, 19 or 20 at Off-Broadway. He was coming through touring. And then, you know, like, 8 years later or something like that, I was making a record with Ken Coomer, with my band at the time, John Henry and the Engine, and he wanted to introduce me to some songwriters, and he said Zach Brook, and I remembered his album, and I remembered his show and what he looked like, and he and I met, and we got along really, really well, and we're really good friends and talk all the time, and he's a really, really, really great songwriter. And so there's a lot of times where he'll send me some things, or he'll be like, hey, I think this will be good for you. And, you know, I'll listen, and like, the majority of the time I'm like, oh, I totally agree. Or he'll play me something, like a nugget, like of an idea, and I'll listen to it, and I'll really like it. And then I'll write to it lyrically or add some musical stuff to it. So it's been a really great partnership. And a really good friend additionally, you know, so
sure.
So it's like a perfect thing. So I really like him and like working with him. And then I wrote a couple with I wrote one with Jeff Allen, who's in Nashville. It's a song called Broken City, who we recorded. It's going to be on the record, but I did it with a producer, Dave Cobb, who has done the last few Jason Isbell records, and he's done Chris Stapleton.
Just got a huge career going right now.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, I did that one with him at his home studio, which is like a really great studio.
And you made
so
a
that was great.
Video for that too, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did that with Doc Kratzer and Keen Bartlett. And that's really cool. And so I'm going to add that. That's going to be right in the middle of the record. That's like the transition. And then I've written Neil Klein, who's plays in the band now, and he's a very, very close, dear friend who I've known for years. He helped me write part of Dark City, Dark Country. So there's some co-writes, there's some, you know, soul writes. And
sure. Yeah. What's that like working with a guy like Dave Cobb whenever you, you know, you're kind of aware of his, you know, catalog, obviously? And
yeah, I mean, I think at the time when I did it, I had auditioned for, I was really good friends with a guy named Joel King, who's in a band called The Effects. And then what happened was he was in a band called The Wild Feathers that have had some stuff, you know, around or whatever, like some, you know, kind of big songs or whatever. And they were looking to add a band member. So he called me and asked me to audition down in Nashville. And I talked to Dave Cobb for that. I did it at the Hermitage Hotel down there. And I met Dave and played the songs, and I didn't get the gig to play in that band, which like in retrospect, I was the right thing. They were looking for like a harmony singer, and that's not what I do. You know, it's not my thing. And you know, I love their band. Like, I love that band, but so I just kind of stayed in touch with him, and I came, and I was passing through Nashville on a vacation, and I said, hey, can I stop by and say hello? And he's like, what are you working on? And I played him Broken City, and he had texted me on the way home, you know, like an hour later, like, hey, I think that's a really good song, and I'd like you to come down and record it with me. And I went down solo and recorded it with him. It was great.
Yeah.
And he was really great to work with, very easy. We'd go to like Waffle House for dinner, and that was perfect for me.
Did you happen to see the video of Stephen Colbert and Sturgill Simpson, and they went to Waffle House, and Sturgill wrote a song about Waffle House? And
I saw that.
That was pretty good.
I saw that. Yeah,
just kind of it's funny how many people, how much of that just. It was a part of life, you know, just hanging out in a Denny's or a Waffle House or whatever and talking music or whatever.
Yeah, and I guess Dave has done Sturgill Simpson's records,
too.
But, I mean, he was, it wasn't like a starstruck thing because I had kind of kept in touch and...
Sure.
And he's, you know, just really great and easy to work with and, you know, usually... People like that, you know, guys that are super successful, it's like things go really smoothly, and it was to this point still like maybe my most pleasant like recording experience. I mean, they've all been pretty, you know, very pleasant, I guess, you know, but that one was something where it was just, he's like, do you think you're kind of weird, like, or do you feel weird that this is going to be like too pop, like, I'm like, no, and he made me play a lot of the instruments on it and stuff, so it was a really, really great experience. And then since I've recorded that, you know, it's, his career is like really, really
sure.
taken off. So
yeah, there's another guy he's worked with, Anderson East,
yeah,
I really like a lot.
He's gonna be at Off Broadway in October.
Yeah, excited for that. And with Brent Cobb,
yeah, who's his cousin, who's great. Yeah, I mean, it's like one of the, you know, I'm a big believer in, like, good work brings good work. So you try to do your best and you know, you work hard. And
sure. So, I mean, you mentioned working at, booking at Off-Broadway and then, you know, just Dave Cobb's story and stuff. But, I mean, has there been any moments of starstruck or anything like that? Like, people you've... I mean, I'm sure you've met just...
I mean, like, when I was, like, a little kid... Like, not little kid, but I was, like, 21, I met the guys in Green Day, and I was, like, a little bit nervous for sure.
Right.
But I think that the older that I've gotten, the more it's like, you know, people are people, and,
sure.
and you know, I
get to meet, like, you know, obviously cool people all the time doing the show, and I'm very grateful for that, but, like, I still, you know, I mentioned this several times on here, but, like, guys like, even, like, Steve Ewing, like, you know, he's, for me, it was a pretty big deal getting to meet him,
I mean,
and hang out with him.
It's, like, the biggest band in St. Louis.
Yeah, and now he's one of my, you know, one of my good friends in town.
Yeah.
But, you know, so he is just a normal guy to me, but I still, if I think about it, like,
right.
that I'm getting to hang out with Steve Ewing, like, the 13-year-old boy, and he's, like, kind of, know,
crazy. Yeah, no. I mean, it's not. Yeah, I mean, there are moments that I have like, you know, one thing that kind of stands out, like, is a really cool moment. I was with my wife, and we were up. Rhett Miller was at Off Broadway, and I was just like, hey, you know, Our Love is one of my favorite songs, and I think it's really great. You know, and I just wanted to tell you that.
Sure.
And he was like, oh, cool, man. I'll play it tonight for you. So he did, and you know, moments like that.
Yeah,
it's
definitely.
It's really cool to be in the business, like, you know, things like that. So
yeah, recently you opened up that Bernie Sanders.
In March, I guess that. Yeah, March.
Yeah.
Something.
Did you get to meet him at all? Or?
No, I didn't, and I think if I had looked back a little bit, I probably could have pushed to have done that.
Yeah.
That happened so quickly, like everything, like
right.
and in 08 I did one of those in Columbia where I was in school at the time, or I'd graduated, but I was like living there still, and I got to open the show for Obama, and everything happened so quick, and they run it so professionally that I kind of regret. I wish I would have kind of been like, oh, do you think we can do it? But just being a part of it was a cool thing.
Yeah,
you know, it was a really cool vibe.
Sure,
and
yeah.
Everybody was really nice to us, and
getting to play an arena full of people, man.
Right. Like, it was really big, and it was like I could hear my vocal coming back off the back of the arena, and you know, it was definitely a nice day. And
is that something like? I mean, obviously, most people are there for Bernie, but it's like, is that people were responsive to it? Like, I mean,
people were cool for sure. I mean, like, we had to play an hour, so it's like, you know, at that point, I think I was, you know, in my opinion, he was probably like one of the most famous people in America.
Sure.
And you know, you have like a local rock band playing, so it's like, of course, people want to hear him. But people were respectful and very nice. And his whole, you know, the funny thing about it was, like, in his campaign, he comes across as like a really good guy, man of the people, and like his campaign staff were like that.
Yeah.
You know, they were really nice, and you guys good? You need, you know, just took care of us to a point, and all the people involved that got us, you know, that helped me get that show were really cool too. So super grateful. I mean, it's like one of those things where you're just like, you know, I said yes, I want to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, you know, political or not, I mean, you know, and I lean that way anyway, but it's like, It was a really cool
event. Yeah, regardless, it's still a great opportunity to play in front of an arena full of people. And,
It was cool.
And
it
have
was
a
cool.
good time. Yeah.
It was really nice. And, it was surreal yet really, you know, regular in the sense of, we just, you know, played the song. So.
Yeah. So on Dark City, Dark Country, you were saying Broken City's kind of more you did by yourself, but like, is there a lot of full band orchestration on
I mean it's a full band record for sure.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's where I'm at right now. It's like everybody, you know, I have a full band, but I play just under my name, just for the name of the band. And so it's 10 tracks. Every track is full band, and I'm really lucky. I play with a lot of really great players live, and on this record, you know, we brought a few people in to, we being me and David Beeman, like to you know, accent it, accentuate, fill, you know, a style type of thing. And plus everyone's so busy, so it's tricky to like make schedules work, you know. So.
Sure. You have any plans? I mean, after we got, like I said, we got Lufest coming up, but after that, like, I mean, would you like to get out on the road more with this record? Or
I want to get on the road some. I mean, I have, you know, my wife and I have a baby boy, and like, I want to travel and tour, but I've done that for so long, like, or I, you know, for years, I'd
we traveled all around without support of a label or a management or anything like that. So I think everything that I'm doing at this point is done for a reason. So, sure.
Yeah. How's do you? Any songs written with your son and inspiration from your son?
I mean, I think that on this record had been in the works for a while, so I don't think it's fully hit. You know, with this material, I mean, I think a lot of it's based around, like, you know, kind of a combination of love and also rage. Yeah. So, I mean, I think that with a child, you know, there's a lot of love and things like that. But, like, specific songs, there isn't.
What about him?
On this record.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, I think sometimes it takes time for me anyway. It kind of simmers in.
For sure.
You know, so.
Yeah.
We're getting our food here at the restaurant.
Yeah, our dinner showed up.
Yours will be right
after. Oh, it's cool.
Thank you.
Cool. Oh, man. I'm going to take over the podcast here for a second because I am looking at Shane's food.
Yeah.
Is that a double cheeseburger with bacon?
Yeah, man. And mashed potatoes.
Mashed potatoes and green beans, and it looks fresh.
That's pretty awesome.
Oh, man.
Well.
Let's keep talking about your... No.
Yeah. So, I guess, so we got Saturday, July 23rd. Grab some tickets. What's it, offbroadwaystl.com?
Yeah, .com. Yeah. And, you can... We're selling, like, a good amount of pre-sales, so it's looking like it's going to be packed, maybe sold out even.
Sure.
So that's, like, the safest bet, but, you know, you can get tickets at the door as well.
Yeah. It would be a real bummer, though, if you
drive all the way down there. Yeah, I mean...
Find out it's sold out.
Yeah, for sure.
But, yeah, it's, like I said, it's going to be cool to see a nice full crowd in there and...
Yeah.
And singing along, man. It's going to be a good night.
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully it's a great night. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah. So. Bring some spending money. Grab a copy of both records.
Yeah, both records and...
Go home with some new music.
Yeah, for sure.
You want to throw some tunes on here?
Yeah.
Yeah? You want to have any particular track you'd like to play?
Yeah, we'll do Broken City.
Yeah?
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. So you said this is the one you recorded with Dave?
Yeah, I'm going to wait to give the full album files here until I have it physically. But, that's the one. The record, the genesis of this record was from, my wife is from a really cool small town north of St. Peter's, Missouri, called Old Monroe. And there had been a restaurant murder where some guys had come in and killed some people in a restaurant in St. Louis, and they had said, you know, they were talking to me, oh, isn't that scary, you know, and I was, yeah, I mean, it's totally scary and all that, you know, and I'm like, but out here, you know, there was just two heroin overdoses by the railroad tracks, you know.
Yeah.
So I came up with Dark City, Dark Country, and I kind of constructed the album around that. And this was kind of like at the beginning where, like, heroin was really starting to kind of poke its head out as, like, a problem with not just white people, but with middle America white people, you know. It had always been kind of an issue, you know, in the black community, sort of, you know, with things.
Sure.
But this is where, you know, the way it works, it seems like it comes to more of a public conscience.
Yeah.
You know, so I started writing, that theme kind of stuck with me, and I wrote it around there, and I wrote some songs about, you know, intertwined in that, it's, you know, obviously love and the loss. You know, demons that you can find, whether you get from in the city or in the countryside, and
yeah.
and kind of living in both worlds, you know, like, because I was totally, like, born and raised, you know, in the city of St. Louis, you know, and seeing what goes on there and then seeing what's going on in the country. It's a, you know, weird thing where it's like, I love both places so much, you know, I would, very idyllic there, yeah, and then fast and just loving everything about that.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. You're choosing the bottom for some reason, right?
Oh, thank you.
There we go.
Can I get you guys something else?
No, this looks awesome. Thank you.
I think we're good.
Enjoy. All right, well, I guess we're wrapping this up so we can chow down, man.
Yeah, dinner's here, man.
Yeah. But thank you so much, John. And
thank you.
And again, the Sleepy Rubies, Emily and Allie, they had to
slip out to band practice.
Yeah, I had to go get ready for this big show. So, yeah, grab a ticket, come to the show, keep an eye out for the album digitally afterwards, and if you can't make it out, and then see him at Lufest too, grab tickets for that, September 10th and 11th, and yeah, thanks so much, John, and I will see you Saturday night, man.
Thank you, yeah.
No one is listening.